Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Like Anime. My name's George, and with me is...
Tony, that's right. Yeah, it's Tony. Sorry, I was trying to read it in Japanese. It was weird.
Yes, and we are...
I don't know what that was.
We are your guides to current anime thoughts, opinions. We weigh in if you don't feel like doing it. You can check it out or see, you know, if we're full of it after you watch it.
Yeah, or if you want, you can just listen to us so that when people talk about anime, you can pretend to have your own opinions about animes, but you'll just be regurgitating our opinions probably.
I've totally done that.
And that's fine too. You know, if that's what you want, we're there for you.
Serving all sorts of needs.
Yeah. All your needs, all your anime needs.
But let's get right to it. First off, we got
My Hero Academia, episode number 94, or the sixth of the season, or the fifth of the season, just depending on how you count them. But yeah, as expected, this episode is class 1A and 1B punching each other. Literally punching this time, at least, so I can now defend that argument a little bit better.
Yeah. Invisible Girl threw punches.
Yeah, or kicks or something. Couldn't really tell, honestly.
Yeah,
but
or hits. She was, yeah.
Yeah, she was striking.
She had a physical altercation where she was kicking butt.
Yeah. And then the girl with the big fist was the other punching one. Remember,
yeah,
she punched
yeah.
Malone.
She had a literal big fist.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the name of her quirk is Big Fist or something like that.
Yeah, which, yeah, it's okay. No, you haven't really been enjoying this fighting arc, and I have, but this episode I'm more with you. Like, it just seemed like by the numbers, like, I don't know, it wasn't exciting in contrast to the first battle. And it wasn't just because Class A didn't win. No, I'm kidding. Spoilers. Whatever. Yeah. But it does, because your concern was that here we go, we're going to see all of these fights sequentially. We got to get through all these fights now, essentially, mm-hmm. was what you were thinking. And I'm thinking more like, no, it's going to get interrupted some way, exciting, that's going to, you know, surprise us and inject a lot of suspense into the show. And I think it, you know, kind of needs it.
Yeah, and it still might get interrupted. Yeah. But yeah, my initial opinion was, okay, there's five teams, mm-hmm. so we're going to have five episodes of them punching each other. But I'm now reevaluating that opinion because the first fight took one episode. This second fight took two episodes.
Yeah.
So is the next fight going to take three episodes, and then we're going to have like three quarters of the season gone by the time they finish? I don't know. Yeah, not real excited about it. Just wake me up when something interesting happens.
Well, I'm just, for myself, I wasn't with you, and now I am with this one. Mm. I still gave it a six, but like a light six. Mm.
Who's the next team up? Do you remember team three?
I think it's, God, what's that guy? The Harden guy from Class B.
Yeah.
I forget his name, but, he's one of them. And I think Momo, or not Momo.
No, Momo was on this one.
Ochako.
Oh,
I think she's up next.
Gravity.
Gravity. There you go.
What is Red Riot? Is the other one's name? I forget his real name, but Red Riot. Yeah. Mm. Okay.
Well, yeah. So I mean, I've said it before, but it's a long-running shonen anime, so. You know, it's like, let's pick it up, you know. I'll cut you some slack because, you know, you're setting up, hopefully, this whole thing that's supposed to go down. So let's get to it.
I have my doubts as to how much anything that happened in these last two episodes is going to play into that or anything. I don't know. I'm trying to think of what happened in this fight that's going to be made relevant. I guess... what's his name? Kumori? No. The bird guy.
Oh.
His new ability with dark shadow.
Yeah. Where he can like fly.
That might come into play, I guess. That's the only thing I can think of that was like new that
Tokoyami.
Tokoyami. Okay.
Or one of his names anyway.
Okay.
But yeah. Sorry, what were you saying about him?
I was just saying that's the only thing I can think of that was introduced these two episodes that might come into play in a fight that happens later or something, you know, where it was somehow relevant to introduce it ahead of time, I guess, so that it doesn't just come out of nowhere like it did in this episode. I don't know. Whatever. That's My Hero Academia for you, people.
No, I agree, too. I hope it's going somewhere. But anyway, we'll tune in next week. Next up, we get, what we have scheduled is Thunderbolt Fantasy, but I have taken a break from it so that I can catch up just rewatch the first two seasons because there's several characters.
How far along are you on that now?
Yeah, so I haven't quite started, but I did watch.
Why is that?
I don't know if it's why. It's just something I had to get through personally. And that thing is called Demon Slayer. So I watched all 26 episodes of that.
All right. Well, so I guess that's it for Thunderbolt Fantasy for this week. Nothing to say. Haven't seen it. Let's move on to Tokyo Revengers episode 4. Not much happens in this episode. Takemichi... Is that his name? Takemichi? Yeah, Takemichi. Yeah. He gets a little information, and I guess then his desire to change the past is somehow increased or deepened, they seem to indicate. But I don't know how, because like the whole idea was to save his junior high girlfriend. What's her name? Hana or something?
Oh, yeah. Hinata.
Hinata. Hinata. Oh, okay. Yeah. I left a syllable off.
That's a cat. Okay. Damn it.
Anyway, and apparently his desire to change the past has been deepened somehow, even though, like, you know, the whole point has been for him to save Hinata, and he hasn't done that yet. And he was very gung-ho about that, so I don't understand how these new events that take place in this episode deepen that at all. So anyway, and they keep doing that thing where, like, something is revealed to us about Takemichi, and then... it's also being revealed to him at the same time. Like, oh, I guess I did like that back then. Like, he just has no recall of his, maybe it's a thing that they're going to, you know, actually make a point with at some point, but I feel like it's really just like them revealing stuff to us. And then since we're supposed to connect with this character, he needs to realize it too or something. I don't understand what they're doing. He should definitely know himself and his past better than we do because we know almost nothing about him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just annoying. So I don't know.
Took a issue with this episode for slightly different reasons, I guess. But yeah, I guess we're both,
sour
on it this week. Well, essentially, going into spoilers, he is taken out of the past of where he's been sent back now a second time to try to, like you were saying, save her and prevent these other two from meeting, right?
Yeah.
Kind of both, you know, part of the operation there, one way or another, right?
Stopping them from meeting would save her, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. But he's also, like, while he's there, he's spending a lot more time. He's trying to do that, but then he's also spending a lot of time bonding with her and getting closer to her. And this escalates with him trying to hold her hand and... Mm. Oh, and this reveal bothered me so much, but like, oh my God, he was holding the brothers, Naoto, I think is his name, holding his hand. And so what does that mean? And they like stupidly like built up to it much, whereas like all the, they cut back like four times of like, does it mean we're going back to the future?
Right.
Yeah.
So when he shook his hand the first time, it was almost immediate, right? And then when he shook his hand to go back to the past again, it was, in fact, immediate, I think, as soon as he shook his hand. And then this time, he held his hand, and then...
There was a pregnant pause for comedic effect.
Yeah, he realizes it, and he's like, what are you doing here? And there's like a whole like probably 30-second to minute-long conversation that happens before he gets transported back to the future.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty weak.
And it does feel like a moment of like time slowing down, but it goes on way too long for that kind of thing. Like it should have been like, what? And then it happened, like just a sort of a brief, hesitation. Even like a, you know, in slow-mo, but quickly. Yeah, but it just dwelled on it too long. And then we're back into the future, which I don't think we really want to be, right? Like, that's the more boring part with all, you know, then we're thinking about, like, you know, we talked about in a previous episode all the time travel logic of this show and
right.
how ridiculous it is.
I mean, we do get sort of an update on what has been changed, like with this last trip back, what did he change in the future? Which yes. honestly isn't much, but you know, I guess something. Yeah.
It seems like he kind of made it worse with like, the people that were in, you know, his old buddy was now like part of this, you know, Majin gang or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
But okay, this leads me to the second reveal, which is strike two for me on this episode, which spoiling everything. We learn that old buddy is the one that pushed him, Takemichi, onto the train tracks, which we had speculated earlier, you and I,
right,
in a previous episode. So someone did push him, and then the younger brother Naoto is the one that saved him. Very quickly, and he has like super, I don't know, he's super fast or something. And
because he knew something was going to happen because yes. he had been told in the past, you know. But yeah, so yeah. I mean, I kind of have a problem with the time travel logic on this as well, because prior to his friend revealing to him that he's the one that pushed him, the younger brother, the cop, reveals to him that in the original timeline, this friend had stabbed somebody at a fight at the high school, and had gone to jail or whatever. But in this new reality that now exists, he hadn't gone to jail because he hadn't stabbed the guy because of what, our main character Takemichi did, like basically change the past so that this friend of his didn't end up feeling he needed to stab and kill this other person. So the timeline in which he pushed him onto the tracks no longer exists for that character, right?
I mean, yeah, this is where the time travel stuff gets wonky, right? But like, this already kind of started off on like the wrong foot, I think.
Yeah.
With like the first reveal of like what was going on. And now it's, I don't know.
I mean, unless it's just in both timelines, he pushed him onto the tracks. In one timeline, because unknown reasons, I guess, maybe he was jealous of him or...
Yeah. Well, that's another thing. I had to rewind it because this old friend tells him, you know, confesses to pushing him onto the tracks and was all, you know, all disappointed that he was saved and didn't die. But he never says why. And like Takemichi never asks. He's just like... The guy's like indignant about, you know, him doing it, like still mad about it.
Yeah, it seems like, so in the current iteration of the timeline, it seems like he maybe sort of indicated that he did it because of the gang that he was in. But in the original timeline, he wouldn't have been in that gang, I think.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It hasn't been explained.
Yeah. If you're going to write a story about time travel, map your stuff out, because man, there's nothing more annoying than like glaring holes in the plot, the story. I don't know. Maybe they can fix it. We'll see.
Maybe.
I really doubt they're even going to bother though.
This is down to a 5 for me.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like it's really very well mapped out. So
yeah. It's kind of on the chopping block as
yeah. It's on the verge. I'm not chopping it just yet.
I'm going to give it one more. You seem to have a different system, but
yeah, I think I'm giving it one more. I mean, I think this has been kind of cruising. Like, I mean, it started off decent and then, yeah, I don't know.
It's just progressively gone down for me. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, yeah. Episode 5 will be, if it is also a 5, will be the third 5. Meaning that it will get chopped probably by me. But for now, we're just on episode 4, and the first episode was fine, and the second episode was okay. So, I don't know.
They're making I saw recently, like a live-action, like stage production, and like a movie, I think, too, of Tokyo Revengers.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, like, there's something to the manga, maybe?
there's probably more like inside the characters' heads what they're thinking stuff, I'm guessing. Yeah. Not that they don't have, you know, characters' thoughts voiced in this, I guess.
For whatever reason, isn't translating well, or just not, I don't know. I mean, it's still early, but it's like, how long, you know, it's one of the, you know, it's like, how long do you need to watch or read to, you know, till it's like, oh yeah, it gets good in the 10th season or, you know, right. I mean, there's gotta be a line, right? So we'll see. This one's kind of approaching it for me, but yeah, for both of us, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It is just creeping onto the edge of the chopping block, just trying to get its head in there a little bit further right now. So,
yeah. All right. Well, next we have Shadow's House, which we're both watching.
Yeah, episode 4.
And I like this episode.
Oh, it's back in the positives for you now. Huh?
It is. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good. It was kind of trending downward, and this. Well, I mean, last week I was talking about I was hoping they'd commit to this ever increasing, you know, dark reveal. Plot that seemed like it was teasing with, and I think, I don't know, to me this did it like
a little bit.
You introduce a couple of things, like there's this like doll hierarchy, and there's like doll to doll abuse, and you know, sort of power struggle going on, which I thought was interesting, as whatever her name is, like Jagged Tooth doll girl, seems to have, you know, sort of control over the rest of them, and I don't know, she was interesting to me, like, not, you know, not amazingly written, but I was like, okay, it's interesting dynamic. It seems to, I mean, Emiliko, our main doll, is so, like, I wrote down her sunshine demeanor, which is commented on in this episode. And so it's like when the season starts, the first episode especially, it's like she's learning about everything she's just come to as a doll, and it's just her and Kate, and she's asking questions and making mistakes and cleaning. But it's through her lens, and before we meet anyone else outside of that room. And so it's also happy and cute. And so it's a kind of nice, like, I don't know, start to a show like this, if it's going to get, you know, ever darker. I don't know if it's going to fully commit, but this episode had me going with that. And then, I don't know, it's like, it's not, you know, like a horror, like, you know, gross you out kind of darkness, but it's just like this, in line with its sort of gothic Victorian themes. It's like the sort of playful, like, you know, these playful reveals that give you one, you know, one more layer beneath of what's really happening. Like the soot they're cleaning that will attack them if they don't clean fast enough. And that whole dynamic that they're stuck in, as well as like in this episode, they had to do like the Night's Watch for like a week or something.
Not the Night's Watch, but Night Watch.
I know, it's so, I did write just Night Watch on my notes, but I couldn't help saying Night's Watch. But
they're
they're
not taking the black. They're not the watchers on the wall, George.
That's true. But anyway, these three misfits, which I kind of like that theme as well, of like, they're the ones that, you know, maybe will like buck the system and, cause chaos, but anyway, they're tasked with finding this where the soot monsters are coming from.
Right,
there's a soot leak, and they do find it, but it's like, I don't know, it's, there's this whole like, you know, tense scene of them like trying to find one of them that's missing, and leading up to them finding it and attacking it, and I don't know, it's all very playful, but it's like, I don't know, I feel like every episode gets a little bit more, I don't know. What'd you think?
I mean, they always have like those dark moments, like the part you're talking about is when they're like looking for her and they go down the hallway that leads to the front door. And like they step on a tile that triggers a trap and like arrows are shot at them. And that's when they realize that,
Well,
we're not allowed to leave. So that's like that darkness sort of creeping in a little bit more, you know, like there's some dark undercurrents going on in this house. So there's like the mean boss lady, mean boss doll lady. She gets in trouble, so Emiliko gets in trouble, so she has to do the Night's Watch things. And during that, she makes friends and saves the day, all thanks to her sunny disposition. I did actually have sunshiny written, but I couldn't think of what the next word was. But then you said sunshiny disposition, and I realized Yes, that's what I meant to say here.
Hmm.
Anyway, yeah, I honestly, there's not a lot I have to say about this episode. It's still doing fine. It's building slowly. I think it's still, it's got a ways to go before it is fully built to where it needs to be to actually start whatever the main story is, which is, again, like I said last week, probably the debut or whatever. It's probably
which
gonna
is
be
next.
The big... Is that next?
That's the title. Yeah, because I wrote that down. It's the title of the next episode.
Oh.
And I was like, what? Because, like,
I didn't
Emilico
that.
Is awful. I mean, as far as, like, what a doll's supposed to be in this world of what we've witnessed. Like, she's, she's no good. And Kate doesn't really seem to have a grasp on, like, how to train her or what she's supposed to do.
Right.
But lately, in these, like, past two episodes, she's been, Emilico's been so busy, like, doing outside cleaning and studying and doing the night, you know, being on night watch.
Yeah.
That, cause Kate's been like, oh, you want to hang out and like study or whatever. And they haven't even done that. So I don't know. I'm like, yeah, I was very surprised when I saw that. So I was like, how's that going to go?
Yeah. Probably poorly. And that's probably where things are going to get worse.
Yeah.
Before they get better. So I don't know. Yeah. I'm still,
Yeah, it could. Yeah, it has. I agree with you. Like, it has potential, but it's a type of show where it's hard to really weigh in on it, without knowing where it's going.
Yeah, it's not a show that I'm like super excited about, but it's not one that I'm like, oh, this again, you know? Because it's at least interesting enough. Yeah.
Well, I gave it a 7, but I gave it a light 7, so it's still a 7. But
I gave it such a light 7 that it's a 6.
Oh, okay, that is a very light. And what do we got next there, Tony?
I've been killing slimes for 300 years and maxed out my level. This is still a cute girls doing cute things in fantasy isekai setting. That hasn't changed.
Cute girls killing cute things?
No, they don't kill any cute things.
Oh, I love kill the slimes. Those sound cute.
No slimes have been killed for at least a couple episodes at this point, but... But yeah, so in this episode, Laika, the dragon girl who is Azusa's pupil. Azusa, is that her name? I didn't write it down this week. Anyway, Laika's sister is getting married. So let's pack up the whole family and go to a dragon wedding, right? Sounds like the thing you would do in a slice of life, cute girls doing cute things anime.
It sure does.
Pack up all the girls and head to a dragon wedding. Of course, something has to come along to disrupt the peaceful life that we're trying to achieve here. So Laika's... Is that her name, Laika? I think it is Laika. So Laika's family is all red dragons, and apparently they have some sort of rivalry with the blue dragons. So the blue dragons decide to show up and, you know, annoy everyone at this wedding reception thing going on. And then Azusa gets fed up with them being annoying and kicks all their butts. And then they decide that they want to go over to the volcano town where they run into Beelzebub, the demon lord that we met previous episode. She happens to be staying at one of the nearby hot springs, I guess. So then they all do a, you know, mini hot springs episode.
Right on within the episode.
Yeah. So we have, we have that. We've got more of fan service the elf doing her fan servicey things, and cute girls doing cute things.
Excellent.
Yep. that's pretty much it for that show. I don't know what else to say about it. I think I covered the entire plot of this episode, and
All right. Well, that takes us to our final item on the docket, which, as anyone who's following along knows, it is time for the special challenge. Cue sound effect. Really is like a crime podcast. only cover anime crime shows. Odd Taxi. No, it's the special challenge. I've been watching a show of Tony's selection, week by week, one episode per week, which seems reasonable. And Tony has managed to, with every suggestion I have already beat me to the punch. However last minute it may or may not appear. I don't know. He's got a good poker face. But I'll start talking about the show I've been watching that you recommended, which is
Flying Witch.
Flying Witch, that's right. Episode 4. And I wrote for this episode, Furry Seeks Retribution. And it's about a... It kind of... Because it's been like peaceful, you know, Iyashike slice of life so far. But this episode, I don't know, to whatever effect they were injecting some drama, like they all the main characters go to a sort of fair or something.
A furry convention? No?
Well, it's just like a sort of festival kind of thing.
Okay.
And they meet this hooded character who's says she's a fortune teller. And there's this really funny scene with Chinatsu, my favorite character, who's the younger niece of our main character, and she's very cute. And funny, but she's talking to this
younger cousin.
Oh yeah, not niece, cousin, yeah. But with the age difference, yeah. But yeah, cousin,
yeah.
But yeah, and at first, this fortune teller is hooded, and you can't really, you know, see what she looks like. But Shinatsu's asking all these questions of like, why do you wear that, and this whole chain, and one that was really funny to me where she's like, I couldn't tell what she meant, but she was like, are you hot? And then like the girl like looked and paused and then said, no. And I was like, are you hot in that, you know, outfit you're wearing? Or like, are you attractive? I don't know. I was giggling because I wasn't sure exactly what she meant, but it was probably meant hot and sweaty, like that sort of thing.
Probably.
But the way she paused before answering, I don't know. Maybe she was thinking what I was thinking. Perhaps. I don't know.
I don't know that that works the same in Japanese.
Yeah, I'm not sure. They do love their puns, but I...
Yeah, I'm just not sure that joke works in Japanese. But it might.
The pause just gave me,
Gave you pause?
Yeah, the pause gave me pause. Yeah, the pause begets pause.
So I do remember this episode, and I do remember that it has elements that tie into later episodes, so I probably shouldn't say anything else about it. But what else happens?
Well, it turns out that this character is a cute fox girl, and she was put under a spell by our main character. I think I have her name here. Anyway, maybe I don't. But our main character, who's a witch, it's her older sister, who's also a witch. The two of them were hanging out, this other girl that got turned into a fox, and I don't know, I guess she like got drunk and ate one of her like chocolates that turns you into an animal, anthropomorphized animal person. But yeah, and so she's like seeking revenge. And so like when they first meet her, it's all like, you know, like get away from me. Like, where's your sister? Like, get her here now. Like, I'll kill her. Or, change me back. I don't know. And so they were like, what do we do? And then, the sister just kind of conveniently shows up. And which they do kind of play for laughs, where the fox girl and our main character are kind of facing each other. And they're outside. And Chinatsu's in the center looking away. And she sees, like, the older sister witch, you know, come down on her broom, and she's like waving, but the other two don't see because they're just looking directly at each other and avoiding all peripheral sight. And so like the older sister like walks all the way up and is like, hey, and they're like, ah. So that was kind of funny, but it was, you know, super convenient plot point, but whatever. It's a low stakes,
I feel like
chill show.
I thought they knew the sister was coming, maybe earlier in the episode, because it's the festival. She said something about her sister coming. Maybe I'm misremembering.
I don't think so, because when she asks her, like, when she's going to be here next, she says, like, oh, she was just here, so I don't know when she'll be back.
Okay.
So I'd be thinking of a different episode or something, but I do remember that. I remember her saying that. But... yeah, I like the first two episodes more. I gave those a 7 each, and these last two have been a 6, which is still enjoyable. Like, it's a nice show, but I'm hoping, I don't know.
It does have a little bit of plot here and there, I guess, but nothing of any real significance. You still haven't got to the best episode.
Well, good.
I'll tell you when you get to the best episode.
Good. I hope I'll know
immediately because
I hope I don't disappoint.
I know what the first sentence you will say about it is.
Actually, I hope it doesn't disappoint. How's that?
Yeah, it won't. I don't think it can. Anyway, so that's Flying Witch, I guess.
Yeah.
And that means that it is now time for you to tell me what you expect me to not have watched already.
How about, gotta choose carefully here. How about a well-talked about show that I don't think you've ever seen unless you just watched it, which is called Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Neon Genesis Evangelion. What does that even mean?
I don't know. It's some gobbledygook.
Yeah. This is like they just took a bunch of words and jammed them together. Neon Genesis. So the creation of Neon. Evangelion, which sounds something to do with angels, I guess.
Mother Ava.
Well, Ava. Evangelion.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But that refers to the...
It's even got the word angel in it. Angelion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what that word means, but all of them to put together makes absolutely no sense. Much like this show. No, I'm just kidding. It's not that it doesn't make sense. It's that Shinji is a whiny little bitch. So I've watched this. It is a show. I mean, this show...
Tell us how you really feel.
This is like one of your favorite shows, and you've talked about it many, many, many times, and I always kind of looked at it and went like, mecha, I'm not interested in that. But I finally watched it. So now you can stop talking about it forever.
Well, I mean, you watched the first half, but.
I watched the first 13 episodes. Yep. Yeah. Shinji is a whiny baby. He wants to be closer to his father who ditched him at some point earlier in his life. So he signs up to be part of the Ava program. So that he can be closer to his father.
Reluctantly,
But then his father doesn't pay enough attention to him, so then he whines and says, oh, I'm not going to do the job that I signed up to do, even though I knew what the job was that I was supposed to do, because my father's not paying enough attention to me. And then his father's like, this is why I left, you whiny little bitch.
And then he runs away. He runs away and...
And then,
then they find him.
The other problem I have with it is all the pseudoscientific nonsense that characters spew all the time. Like, it's not even like, maybe it's something lost in translation, but it makes such little sense. I feel like, I don't know, someone that knows nothing about any sort of sciences must have come up with these names.
They're just talking about, like, you know, I haven't watched it, you know, recently, but like, you know, activation rates and the sync ratio and... vital signs, and I mean,
yeah,
it's not like they're making up, like, you know, I mean, it's clearly it's not a
no, a lot of the things they say are made up, but
I mean, you're a fan and of then they're sci-fi. Just like, I mean,
throwing out some, numbers. Oh, synchronization rate, is it 157? That's, I mean, if it was like a percentage, I could maybe get that, but it's just a number, and we have no idea what the scale means. It's not explained, and I don't know, just a lot of scientific mumbo jumbo jargon nonsense that they spew. So that's the other thing that annoys me about it. And the one thing that annoyed me more than anything, kind of part of that, is that they're always saying like, oh, the odds that this could possibly succeed are like 0.00000000000008%. That's the chances of them succeeding. So like impossible, right? Like beyond impossible, but still, just possible. But
so you're saying happens, there's a chance.
What happens every time? They succeed. The chances of succeeding on that low of odds that many times is like literally impossible.
Yeah, but the things that they're doing have never been done before. So they're only going off their own history of, you know, things they've, you know, successfully achieved. So
you're saying that they have no idea what the odds are. They're just making up numbers?
Well, no, I'm saying I don't know. I mean, I give it the benefit of the doubt. Like, they're going off the data that is very limited, of, you know, all the missions they've done with the Ava thus far, or tests.
Yeah, but they've never done this thing before, and so there's no way they could calculate odds for
that. That's true, but they have the three supercomputers that work together. I mean, I don't know. Those tie into the show. I forget, it's like Maria and...
Yeah.
I forget all the names.
I guess. So they're the ones calculating the odds, but then, like, if those odds are even, like, realistic in any... I don't know. So that's my biggest problem with it. Let's get to the things I liked about it. I didn't hate the robots. Does that count as saying I like something, to say I didn't hate it?
glowing review.
Yeah. And it even just watching these first 13 episodes left me with some questions that will probably remain unanswered until I watch the rest or someone spoils it for me. But you know, it's story wise is intriguing, has some intrigue to it. I liked Shinji's friends from school. They were, you know, all right.
Yeah, and they tie into things.
I liked what's her name, the one who becomes his roommate.
Well, Misato is the one that she has.
She's the one that picks him up in the very beginning, right? Yeah.
She's my favorite character.
I liked her overall. I would say, yeah. But yeah, and Shinji winds down a little bit later in the show.
Winds down.
He's super whiny at the beginning, and I really just want to punch him.
That's like a well-worn meme.
Oh,
I don't know. Yeah,
get in the robot.
Yeah,
just get in the robot. You signed up for this.
But
no, I really do want to punch him. I went through three TVs, man. Like, shattered screens all over the place.
That's rough.
But yeah, this is one that I'm not sure if I'm going to continue watching it. It did improve towards the end of the 13 episodes. The Shinji whining thing kind of went away. Mm. The numbers thing and that stuff that annoyed me didn't go away. It's still there, but that's not enough to make me not want to watch it. It just annoys me while I'm watching it. And being annoyed while you watch something tends to degrade your opinion of the thing. But that didn't make me any less curious about sort of the overall story, some of the elements that had been set up to later be knocked down, I'm sure. So yeah, I don't know. I probably won't watch this anytime soon anyway. If I find myself in a lull and I run out of everything else that I actually want to watch, this will be the top of my, I don't really want to watch this, but it's better than not watching anything.
So yeah, probably not.
Probably not. I never seem to run out of
things
to watch.
I mean, that's, you watched half of it, which is, you know, considerable. Yeah. So,
and I don't know,
that's a fair shake.
There's, you know, even while I'm talking about it right now, those little nagging things are coming back into the back of my mind where I really want to know some things. And once we're off mic, I will probably ask you questions. And if you want me to watch it, then don't answer them. If you don't care, then you could save me the trouble. Anyway, I would say that pretty much does it for this episode. You can react to us on the social medias if you would like, people of the internet who are listening to us right now. We're on all the socials at UmlikeAnime. That's UmlikeAnime. How do you feel about Neon Genesis Evangelion? Is it one of your favorite shows too, like it is George's, or did you absolutely hate it? No, I did not absolutely hate it. I'm just kidding. But maybe you did. Let us know if you think Shinji is a whiny baby. Just, you know, find us on socials and just type Shinji is a whiny baby. You can hashtag it if you want to. I know hashtagging things is the cool thing that kids do these days. So hashtag Shinji is a whiny baby. I'll check that that hashtag throughout the week and see if it's trending. I'm hoping it is. Any other opinions you have about shows that we've been talking about, any shows that we haven't been talking about that you would like to hear our opinion on, we might watch some of it and get back to you on that. But yeah, that pretty much does it for us. I have been Tony, and this fella sitting across from me is named Jorge.
Si.
Yeah, I'm calling back to Cinco de Mayo from 2 days ago.
Yes, right on. Well, see you guys. Mm-hmm.